are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Oh my God, Becky, look at his swastika. does that work? I think it does.
Sure. We'll let it go.
Let it go. All right, everybody. I'm going to do this one fast and furious. Hi, I'm Nathan. We are covering Becky, the Green Room meets Home Alone movie with Kevin James, Paul Blart himself as a neo-Nazi. I remember all those jokes. I believe it was The Onion that posted up that article that said, like, after seeing Adam Sandler's acclaim for Uncut Gems, Kevin James vows never to do any dramatic roles. Wow. And I was just like, oh, wow, he had that on the back burner. It was like a fuck you to The Onion.
That's pretty funny.
But on this review, I got Tessa.
Hello.
And Hunter.
Hello.
And Michael.
Hi there.
And yo, Adrian.
I'm Hola, sure como estas?
I'm sorry. But yeah, basically to kind of get into the plot of this, Becky is about a young girl whose mother recently passed, and she's with her father, Jeff Winger. They're going on a little... yeah, no, it's Jeff Winger. I love Joel McHale, and he's great. And I like him in almost everything, but he's Jeff Winger in this movie. And
his name
fine.
Is Jeff in it, too.
It is.
Yeah. And he basically is taking her out to the lake house to have sort of a... How would you say it? Like a... Oh, we're going to change how you feel about my new girlfriend after your mom died.
And yeah, family meeting.
It's been like a year. You wasted no time.
Yeah. And then out of nowhere, a bunch of neo-Nazis come up, run by Paul Blart himself, Kevin James. And they basically take the rest of the family... Except for Becky, who I didn't even mention, was played by Lulu Wilson, who is always fantastic. And she goes, Kevin McAllister meets John Rambo on them.
Essentially, and,
yeah.
I was thinking it was like Home Alone meets John Wick kind of thing. Meets MacGyver.
You could go John Wick. There's actually a movie that more closely resembles this that I will recommend... also with the same caveat I would give John Wick in this movie that a dog dies in it, but it's called Deadly Games is one of the title for it. I believe the other one's like 36-15 Noel.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of crazy titles, but it's basically like a spoiled rich kid who goes John Rambo on a Santa Claus-like burglar who kills his dog almost immediately in the movie.
They killed the fuck out of that dog, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This movie has a rough dog death, which...
A rough dog
death. It's like a trigger warning.
God damn it.
It's like Michael Vick wrote this. I was like, holy shit. This is
ouch.
Yeah, I have trouble with dog deaths in movies, except John Wick is one of my favorite movies, so, you know. But not to let the dog death hamper the rest of the movie. How did you guys feel about this flick?
I had a good time, and I made the same connection everybody seems to be making as the Green Room meets Home Alone. And I really liked the opening title card with all the hand-drawn fonts. It was giving me some Scott Pilgrim and like Spider-Verse energy vibes, just with the aesthetic with the title cards. I really enjoyed that. Just a bunch of like hand-drawn fonts done by probably Becky on her Trapper Keeper or something.
To go off that, like, this isn't just a really great... I really like this. I'm going to go right ahead and say I kind of fucking love this. And it's not just a great exploitation movie, because it totally is. It is like if Hannah was an exploitation film as opposed to like kind of like an artsy movie. But that being said, this is still so sleek and stylish, and it's filmed beautifully. The soundtrack lends to every single scene that it's a part of. It feels almost in a way like if you like movies like Mandy because you liked the original Suspiria that it, you know, kind of influenced off of, you'll like Becky as well, because it kind of feels like if you've ever seen the 80s film Demons, like it just goes all the way. It's pretty fast paced and it holds nothing back.
Yeah, there's no fat on this movie at all.
You know, I didn't think of it as an exploitation movie, but now that you've said that, it's like, yeah, that's kind of the word I was looking for. It's part of it's so over the top in some places that it had me laughing with sort of laughing with glee at some of the just the ridiculously, you know, savage moments. Schadenfreude sort of glee.
Yeah, I feel that. It was more, I feel like, a female revenge film in the sense of, like, Kill Bill or Hard Candy or Revenge. Yeah, I feel like it was more leaning female revenge film than just straight-up exploitation. But also, to go back to the music you guys were saying, the music was awesome. I really like the weird, like, breathing in certain scenes.
Yes. Yeah.
Like the hyperventilating. It really reminded me of Midsommar, and it reminded me of Akira. Both films I love, so.
Yeah, there's so many tracks in this that feel like some kind of, like, war cry. Like, it's all building up to this may seem like it's not the right word for it, but almost like beautiful scene of violence. Like every kill in this movie is pretty cathartic.
I was shocked how hard they went on the violence in this movie. Like, I was expecting, you know, like a decent amount of violence, like one of those, like, all right, here's as much violence as we will let a little girl get away with without being like far too over the top. I wasn't expecting for eyeballs to be cut out. Straight up just using rulers in ways I never want to see a ruler used again, but kind of will never get out of my head. Lulu Wilson is pretty fantastic in this. I mean, I've found her to be pretty great in everything she's in, from the Ouija prequel that they did, Origin of Evil, and then what was the other one? Another prequel, Annabelle, and her turn on Haunting of Hill House. But it's fantastic how great she's able to, like, embody that rage and make it believable that she would just massacre these Nazis.
I can see someone having a problem with, like, this movie has all the fat trimmed off it to the point where they don't really explain how she's able to do any of this. But I didn't find that a problem, personally speaking. I thought this... It's just rage. It's just pure rage. This girl has had the worst day of her life, and this was finally enough to get her kind of like over the edge and to freak out in the 13-year-old way a kid with all this anger that's been building up inside of them will get out.
So, I mean, her losing her mom is like a big deal, and I thought the flashbacks were well handled as far as that's concerned. But and I'm gonna caution everyone in this sense. A lot of people are gonna go like, oh my god, Kevin James is great and his turn as Dominic is wonderful. When you've done over 30 movies and this is one of the first times people can go your performance was good, that's a fucking problem. And honestly, I really don't want to hear all this like praise for Kevin James. It's like, okay, dude, like, you know, Paul Blart Mall Cop, Pixels, like, you've been shitty for a long time and you finally get a hit, like, congratulations. Like, I, and Kevin James is goodness, I'll give credit where it's due, but let's not act like this is some, you know, like, career defining role for him. Like, I actually thought his henchman Apex was actually better than Kevin James was. I actually like the scenes that Apex had with certain characters as we get to the climax. I thought those scenes were actually better than most of the stuff that Dominic did. Becky being able to do all this stuff, it is, you kind of have to forgive the movie a little bit. Yeah, I, you know, she's 13 years old and angsty, you know, but she shouldn't be able to go ahead and go down a, you know, like a zip line and kick somebody and be able to kill them as efficiently as she does. It's a little, you have to suspend your disbelief a little bit, but I kind of had the same issue I have with Brightburn in the sense of, if you could give me another 10 minutes to explain, outside of her mom dying, why this little girl is so pissed off, and that would have helped, I think, the movie a little more as far as developing her character, just because the situation is what defines her more than her actually having a fleshed out character. So that was a bit of an issue for me as we got to the climax.
I disagree. I think that the fact that she's a little girl, they underestimated her. And did any of you guys have teenagers? So anyways,
No.
I'm the oldest of 10, so I've experienced teenagers, so.
I mean, I might have one somewhere out there, but I don't know.
Fair. but yeah, I feel like mostly it's her being underestimated. I mean, she was able to get that one guy because he wasn't paying attention. I mean, any of the times she was able to get the upper hand, there was an explanation for it. Like, one wasn't paying attention, one couldn't swim, you know, and the other didn't see it coming, you know, like, I feel like they kind of explained how she was able to do what she did without it being like too out of the realm of possibility for a 13-year-old girl to do this.
Yeah,
but that's just me.
Let's not forget that this is also on that Home Alone type territory where she's setting up traps. Like, it's not just let me go and start punching the dude out. It's definitely trying to get the upper hand of the situation that she also kind of set up before the conflict starts.
I think maybe if you had a lesser actor in the role besides Lulu Wilson, it would be in the realm of disbelief completely, but she's able to sell the rage to where it's like, you're not thinking about the fact that she just pulled some Equalizer shit on all these Nazis. You're just like, holy shit, that rage.
And that's fine, and like, I have no problem with the traps. I'm talking about the fact that there are points where she's getting thrown like a frisbee and just keeps and gets up like it's nothing. There's a point where she basically gets, to borrow the wrestling term, like German suplex, and I went, oh, that's it, like, movie's over. And she just kind of shrugs it off, and I went, okay, sure, adrenaline can help you do shit, but she gets thrown a couple times like a fucking frisbee. It's like, okay, at some point this girl needs to, you know, hold her shoulder or something. And yeah, it just got to a point where I went, she needs to take a little more damage outside of just a bloody nose. But
oh yeah, when Apex like body slams her, for sure, like, she got body slammed at least twice really hard.
Yeah, Roger Ebert would have hated this movie. I don't know if you guys remember how he freaked out when they were beating up Chloe Grace Moretz and Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
And he, like, based his review off entirely of that. I would have loved to have seen him watch this one.
Yeah, I believe he called Kick-Ass, like, one of the 5 most irresponsible movies ever made.
Oh, this is for sure irresponsible.
Yeah.
Something I did like about how they portrayed Becky was the fact that she did make some sort of mistakes that a child would make. You know, she tried to bluff them, but because she didn't think it through, they immediately called her bluff.
Yeah,
you know, that's the sort of mistake that a kid would make, you know.
Yeah.
And to me, that helped sort of bring it down, as she's not just this pint-sized Terminator. She's an angry child.
Yeah, it helped.
Who's been angry
for
a long time with nothing left to lose at the point that she goes off.
piggybacking on something that Hunter was talking about, how did you guys feel about Kevin James in this movie?
Hey, he's good. He's good. I liked but him. It's not like Picard in Green Room, where that's like such a good performance as a villain. Kevin James is just good. It's good to see him in a not comedic role, but it's not going to get him any kind of awards or anything like that. But he works. He's intimidating.
Paul Blart, Mall Nazi.
Once. I mean, I've always been in the camp of liking Kevin James's like charisma in movies where I just absolutely despise the movie itself. Like, I think the only reason that Paul Blart Mall Cop gets ahead, besides the fact that a lot of people have very low IQs in this country, is that he's so affable and it's not a constant fat joke throughout the entire movie. Okay, there is a bit of that. I'm sorry. I have very foggy memories of that movie, and I still don't like it one bit. I just remembered, oh, I thought he was just going to be like constant, you know, being the butt of his own joke, but he's more earnest than the movie is. I thought he was really good. I thought he was very... he's able to command very well. I was not expecting to actually be intimidated by him, despite seeing the trailers and seeing, you know, oh, he looks like a white supremacist. I thought he had a lot of great scenes of tension. He's definitely not going to get any awards for this. But I thought he was rather good.
No, he's good. But, you know, again, that goes back to, you know, the whole... out of 30 movies, I'd hope you have, you know, one good performance. I actually liked him in, what was that one movie? Here Comes the Boom. That was the first time I went, okay, maybe you're not a hack. And then he did Pixels. I was like, son of a bitch, why did
I? He wasn't awful in Hitch, from what I remember.
Okay, all right. You know, that's fair. I did forget about Hitch. But he does have, he has this one scene with Apex where he kind of questions his loyalty. And I think that's the best scene he had in the whole movie. I went, oh, for okay. Sure. I was like, I'll give you that. But, yeah, I mean, this is not Adam Sandler in Uncut Gems. Because I saw some people going, oh, my God, he's just as good as Sandler was. I'm like, okay, let's calm down. Like, he's good. He's not that good. But it is nice to see Kevin James and something where he's, you know, not running to a wall or falling down a vent or being, you know, male Melissa McCarthy and just falling over and over again. So that was cool. But
I agree.
I think the nice thing about this with him is that it's, yeah, he's not going to win any awards, but it shows that he can carry a serious dramatic role. And maybe that might, you know, open it up for him to get some roles where he's not, as you said, a male Melissa McCarthy.
I hope so. I think the best example of that is Vince Vaughn in Brawling Cell Block 99. And I would love to see more stuff like that of comedians getting these really dark, really intense roles. So, yeah, I'm all for more. I'm all for the Kevin James renaissance.
I mean, I'm currently rewatching Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. And I heard a whole thing where Vince Gilligan talked about how he only seeks out actors who have some experience in comedy, because if you can do comedy, you can do drama just as easy, but often not vice versa. So I'm glad to see him branch out in that way. And I hope to see more roles, not necessarily like this, but more serious roles from him, because I think he does have a quality of likability to him.
For sure.
I feel like with this... you guys mentioned like Apex was better, and Kevin James is playing a calorie free villain, someone you don't feel guilty about getting killed, you know.
No, there's definitely some calories there.
But yeah, he plays a neo-Nazi, and that's one of those villains where, you know, you don't feel super guilty when they get their comeuppance. But you have Apex, who's maybe questioning his loyalty, which makes him more of a gray area character, which just makes him more interesting. So that's probably why we were all like, yeah, I feel like he was maybe a little bit better of an actor. So anyways.
Yeah, for sure. Gonna get into final thoughts. Michael, how did you feel about Becky?
I liked it. Some of the over-the-top violence kind of took me out of it in that sort of, you know, gleeful laughter. It's like, oh my god, the eyeball! But I watched it last night, and after I slept on it, I'm like, okay, it's got kind of that Kill Bill sort of feel, and I love the hell out of that. So, yeah, overall, I did enjoy it.
All right. You got a rating for it?
Oh, I give it probably 7 out of 10 boating accidents that were no boating accident.
Oh, man, I forgot about the boating accident. Nice. Oh, that was rough. Adrian?
Hey, so I love the hell out of this movie. I love genre films, especially exploitation movies, and as much as I love something that would be nominated for an Oscar like Parasite, I also just love being entertained and seeing some shit that I haven't seen on screen for a while, and I feel like Becky does that to a T. There is gore in here that is, like, so extreme, but it looks incredible. This movie pulls no punches, but it's not without its flaws. It's definitely not a perfect film. I can totally suspend my disbelief that Becky is able to do this stuff, but the reason that they're even there to begin with, that was so unclear to me, and I'd seen this a couple times where I feel like, do I just keep missing something?
Thank you.
As to, like,
yeah.
Like, I understand their reasoning for being there, but it's like, tell me a little bit more of that. Like, how does she know what this is? How do they know that she knows? All this other stuff. So there is a flaw in that, and after multiple reviews, with any other kind of, like, home invasion revenge exploitation film, the part before the action, it's all that buildup is important to make this tense on your first viewing. Every other time, you're gonna want to get through it, maybe fast forward, unless you're seeing it with a friend who's seeing it for the first time. But still, this is so stylish and so fun, and good performances all around. Did we mention that Apex is like 9 foot fucking tall? And
he's huge. He's
been in the first Sherlock movie, if you've seen that he's one. Great. And he's been in a bunch of other stuff, but he's great in this. French actor. I'm going to rewatch this one multiple times. I'm going to show my friends this. And it's just a lot of fun if you can stomach the gore and the fact that this movie doesn't pull any punches. Like I said, they shoot the fuck out of a dog. And it's almost like so much that it's so ridiculous. But still, it's going to bother some people. I would give this 4.5... swastika Dreamcast tattoos on the back of Kevin James' head out of 5.
All right. Tessa?
I also very much enjoyed this film. Definitely some Schadenfreude. I felt like this definitely was Home Alone meets The Green Room, as we discussed previously. Lulu Wilson knocked it out of the park, playing the angsty, primal scream embodied teenager. I would say that I still feel like it's more of a female revenge film than an exploitation film, but that might just be me, but I do really enjoy that genre, and I liked Mandy a whole lot. I would probably give this 8 out of 10 colored pencil daggers. And yeah, it trigger warning, it does have a dog death, as we mentioned, but it's one of those things where when they do that, that's when you know it's like, it's kind of a no, like, bars held kind of situation. I'd be curious to see more from Lulu Wilson after this for sure.
Oh yeah. Hunter?
Yeah, I wanted to like this more. Like, there's no part of me that, like, hates this movie, but after I was done with it, I was like, okay, that was fun. If I'd paid to see this in a theater, even at an early matinee, I probably would have left the theater feeling a little gypped. I thought Kevin James was was good in this. We didn't mention Amanda Brugel, who's on Handmaid's Tale. She's good for the little they give her. Yeah, and I always love seeing Joe McHale, but she comes at her dad just early on in the movie talking about how he didn't love her mom, and I'm just like, girl, come on now, you know you don't think he's hurting, and he just had a couple lines of dialogue that did irk me. It's kind of that Brightburn problem I have, but that's a whole other issue. It's a good movie. There's a lot of fun here as far as the gore. It does not hold back. And it kind of puts its cards on the table pretty early, letting you know, like, hey, this is what this is. Issues aside, as far as what all of this was about, which, you know, if you have a movie and you don't really have a reason for why it existed, I kind of go, all right, why did I sit through this? But I did have fun with it, so I'll give it 7 hilariously uncommon uses for scissors out of 10.
Yeah, guys, I had a blast with it. It was one of those movies that I probably shouldn't have watched as early in the morning as I did, and it had more of a midnight movie feel, where I should have had some friends over via Zoom and watched it. But I had a lot of fun. I mean, it is everything that you guys said it was. It's no holds barred, Home Alone meets Green Room, with some solid performances, great lead performance by Lulu Wilson. And Kevin James, as much as he isn't like the star of this movie, he does a pretty good job as the villain, and he makes you really hate him, and the violence lives up to the promise of it. I was actually kind of afraid that this movie was just going to be kind of sanitized, like, you know, just sort of your basic level, like, oh, look, this kid's killing somebody and we're going to show like a spurt of blood and then it's over. I was not expecting for the boat scene. But yeah, no, I very much enjoyed it. I'll probably watch it again. I'd give it 7 out of 10 eyeballs on cutting boards. Ugh.
Nice.
Ugh. I don't know how to end this review, so I'm just going to babble for a little bit. I don't have a final punchline. It was just sort of a fun movie that I watched. God damn it. I should prepare for these more.
Yeah, I mean, always a good ending is fuck Nazis.
Oh, yeah. Fuck Nazis, everybody. Fuck Nazis.